This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
This is Central Nebraska's most listened to all sports radio station.
We always parade winners around here.
From 1460 KXPN and 1550 KICS, you're listening to Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
For any of you who have listened in the past, you know that I am not a radio-trained personality, so we are just going by the seat of our pants.
It's time for the Tri-Cities' number one sports show. You're listening to the Doug and Daddy Show.
Victoria and Zaretska, you know, these Russians, they need to buy a vowel. Let me just say that. They need to buy a vowel with that first name.
Now coming to you live from the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Need a vehicle? ThinkMidway.com.
No. I don't think that. It's minor. It's just a minor sin. It's a minor one. Well, I'm coming to you then for some of the major ones.
It's time for the Doug and Daddy Show.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to a Thursday edition of the Doug and Daddy Show on this 6th of August. Doug Duda, Jim Langan slides in with me on this Thursday. We're going to be talking a little bit of football. We'll throw some basketball in, baseball. It's all part of this Thursday in August. We are opening day for the Huskers for camp. 1 week from today, it'll be opening camp day for the Lopers. Sunday, Hastings College will begin camp. GPAC Media Days going on this afternoon. And we will talk with Mike Will, voice of the Hastings Broncos, here momentarily. We'll catch up with Robin Walshett of Husker Online to talk about Fan Day yesterday and the Huskers as they begin fall practice today. And we'll also continue our Big Ten chat with offensive lineman Keith Lumpkin of Rutgers. Big fella, good guy. Had a chance to talk with him as part of our media days, which was last week. But, Jimmy, football's here. We keep talking about it. It's getting close. So another check mark off of the list tonight when the Huskers hit the practice field.
Yeah, you're right, Doug. I'll tell you what, how you know it's here is in the NFL when they have these training camps and all of a sudden you'll be watching maybe a Major League Baseball game on TV and underneath it it'll say, hey, this running back out for the year. This running back hurt, going to miss 8 to 10 weeks. You know, it's kind of interesting, some of the teams and the players that you could lose. You look at the University of Nebraska and think of a couple players, if they were injured this year in camp, how that would affect their team too. So
I'm always a positive guy, Jimmy. I don't think about stuff like that.
Well, you better. it's reality. Yeah.
Well, let's get a little insight before we talk Huskers later on in the next segment. Mike Will is in Sioux City getting ready for GPAC Media Days. And Mike, brimming with anticipation, what's going on, man?
I'll tell you what, this is the day that everybody is so happy. Everybody is undefeated on the year. Everybody is optimistic for the season and can't wait to get started. We're going to hear it from 10 different coaches coming up here at about 1 o'clock this afternoon.
It all gets going at that time, and Coach Harper's up about 4th out of the 10, and we'll have Coach Harper on the show on Monday after they get their first practice and get things rolling there. The GPAC, to me, Mike, seems like we have had kind of the same story for quite a while, maybe even since the beginning. You had Sioux Falls, which has now moved on, and Morningside and Northwestern have always been there. And then you have one team that kind of cycles through. Hastings was there for a couple of years, made the playoffs, very good, 8-2, 9-2 type of football team. Concordia has went from no wins to a contender. Doan has done some great things there. Is that the way you see it again this year?
No doubt about it. It's going to be Morningside, Northwestern, the top two teams. Probably the interesting thing is going to be if Hastings is ready to make that next step. We finished 2-8 a couple of years ago, made a big stride last year, 6-4, played extremely well the last three games of the year. And I think in talking with Coach Harper, the guys around Hastings College, that the Broncos are ready to take that next step. Now, if that's going to be good enough to finish third in the conference, fourth in the conference, I don't know. But I think Hastings is setting themselves up for a real good year coming up here in a couple of weeks.
Hey, Mike, you know, when you look at the Big Ten, for instance, an example, you know, where you look at like an Ohio State and then you see everybody else going, wow, we've got a lot of work to do to catch those. What's the gap there between those teams like Morningside, Northwestern, compared to the rest of the group? Is the gap about the same?
Morningside is a team that a lot of teams have had trouble with. They just can't keep up with their scoring. And you got to play great defense against a team like Morningside to hang in those games. And I can't say that the gap is shrinking because we have not had very good games with Morningside in the past. Northwestern, I would say we perhaps could be in the same league as Northwestern. Hastings was just a couple of plays away a year ago from maybe making a run at a playoff spot. We had a 21-point lead over Doan early in the season and cop that baby away. We had a lead over Dakota Wesleyan and cop that baby away. So Hastings is maybe just a shake away from maybe looking at a playoff spot a season ago. But the gap with Morningside, I think, is still there. And it's a gap that we continue to try to whittle away at. But so far, Morningside looks like the team to beat in 2015.
We're talking with Mike Will, voice of the Hastings College Broncos, here on the Doug and Daddy Show at GPAC Media Days in South Sioux City going on this afternoon. I always like to look at the schedule to see if a team is going to get smacked right off the bat like UNK has since joining the MIAA, and it always seems like they just kind of draw them out of a hat for the GPAC, which is cool. You may start strong, or this year some of the Concordia is there and Doan is there, but I mean Northwestern and Morningside a little bit later on, and they're not all back to back to back. How do you see that schedule, and could it be helpful to get off to a good start with the schedule?
Number one, if Hastings is going to make a run this year, they're going to have to do it on the road. Check the schedule out. We got only four home games this year. Six out of the 10 games are on the road. Yeah, we got to, I think Northwestern is at home. But I'll tell you what, playing on the road in the GPAC has not been kind in the conference. And if Hastings is going to make a run this year, they're going to have to do it on the road. And that has not been kind for the Broncos here in the past couple of years.
Now, of course, everybody in Hastings that's been there at any time at all, very familiar with Bob Borichter, now the commissioner of the MIAA. They have went back and forth with expansion, and Nebraska Wesleyan is going to be leaving the GPAC here. How's the GPAC looking in the next couple of years? Is there any discussion about expansion, or even if that doesn't happen, opening up some slots and playing 11 football games?
That's going to be one of the things that's really going to be discussed, I think, at length here in the press conference. We'll have a chance to talk with Corey Westra, who's the commissioner of the GPAC. When Nebraska Wesleyan leaves after next year, this is going to be their last go-around. Are we going to look at maybe expanding in the Great Plains Athletic Conference, or are we happy with what we have now and maybe playing another non-conference game? Or are we playing a game with the KCAC each and every year for the next several years to start the year in that challenge? Do we pick up another non-conference game, or are we going to welcome somebody else in the GPAC? And I don't know. I know you had Corey on earlier this year when Nebraska Wesleyan got out of the conference and made the announcement, and he wasn't looking for an expansion at that point. But I'm sure that's what we brought up today, and I'll be anxious to hear what Corey reacts to some questions here about a possible expansion in the GPAC.
Where Hastings' location is at, Kansas seems to be, you know, a state that they would pick up. Is that true? Or, you know, with Iowa, you know, because, you know, you've got Northwestern in the league in Orange City, you know, and they're looking to a whole different state. What's your thoughts there?
Well, we got teams over here in Iowa. We got teams in South Dakota. I don't know if I think all the Kansas teams are pretty well locked up with the KCAC. They're probably happy with that. You would think a couple of stragglers from Nebraska, Peru State, maybe a possibility. York College, they play a lot of the GPAC teams already. So, you know, maybe those teams would fit in with what we got going in the GPAC. I don't know. It's a big question mark right now. In fact, Corey's standing right here, and we'll be anxious to talk to him here in a little bit about that.
Mike Will, voice of the Hastings College Broncos, is at GPAC Media Day. With the transition going on at Hastings College, Mike, Patty Sartorius right now in charge, but there's an interim, and maybe you can even throw in what your thoughts is on how long that interim tag will be on. If the new athletic director, I guess my bottom line is, would Hastings ever consider moving out of the GPAC?
I've heard no discussions about that yet, and where would you go? Where would you go? You're stuck out here in the middle of Nebraska. Where would a team like Hastings go if we decided to opt out of the GPAC? I've heard no discussions about that here recently.
Well, let's get back to football, and then we'll let you get back to lunch and work this afternoon up there in South Sioux City. You mentioned a little bit that you think Morningside and Northwestern are going to be at the top. Where do you see Hastings fitting in? We'll talk to Coach Harper next week, but what do they have coming back in your eyes? You see them every day, every week. Your thoughts on the Broncos?
We've got a lot coming back on defense. Tony made some changes defensively at the end of last year. Went from a 3-3 stack defense to a four-man front, a couple of linebackers, five defensive backs to kind of match up with the throwing teams in the GPAC. Played much better defensively in the last three or four games of last year. If we can continue that, we've got a lot of guys on defense that can make some plays. We got a lot of experience coming back there. Offensively, Hastings was one of the highest scoring teams in the Great Plains Athletic Conference. They were in the top 20 of the nation. We're going to have a new quarterback in Jason Gaines. He went 2-1 as a starter after replacing Matt Overmiller last year, who went down with an injury. I think Hastings has got the guns, both offensively and defensively. Hastings, without hearing maybe from some of the other coaches today, Hastings may have a shot at maybe a third or a fourth spot in the GPAC this year.
What's the biggest question mark then, in your opinion, for Hastings?
If our defense, we got to stop somebody on defense. We had one of the worst defenses in the Great Plains Athletic Conference a year ago. Again, we made some strides at the end of the year, but we've got to continue that. We've got to make more strides. We got to stop somebody. We had, like we said, we gave up a lot of points, a lot of yards last year. I think we got to have the offense to match up with some of these teams again this year, but we got to stop somebody on defense. That's going to be the key.
And Jake Mandelko will come in. There's just you lost Coach Holtzclaw, but Mandelko will come in and try and help on the defensive side of the ball. So not really worrying about much overturn there this year in the coaching staff.
We've got, I've heard nothing but good things out of Jake. He's really bringing some excitement to the defensive side of the ball. Offensively, maybe a question mark. We got a new offensive coordinator as well, as Rod Mooring coming in to take the helm. He'll be calling the plays. A little tweak in the offensive scheme here for this upcoming season, but I've heard good things out of Jake and from Rod Mooring here with spring practice and just in the off season. So I don't think the offense will miss a beat, and I think Jake is definitely helping us out on the defense.
And finally, Mike, outside of Hastings, and we talked the expansion, is there one other team that you've got a question for today that you're interested in hearing from?
Doan, maybe. Coach Franzen over at Doan. We'll see how. I know they're going to be loaded again for this upcoming season. I want to see kind of where they fit in with Hastings College. I think there's going to be a lot of talk with Nebraska Wesleyan about just getting rid of the storied rivalries that they've had with Concordia, with Hastings, and waving goodbye, so to speak, in the Great Plains Athletic Conference for football. If they're going to play these teams maybe in a non-conference schedule when they move on to a Division III, not only in football, but in basketball. I think those are the questions, and then the possible expansion, like you said, with Corey Westrud today. See what happens after we say goodbye to the Prairie Wolves today.
Hastings will open the camp Sunday. Their first game, just like Big Red, is September 5th. It's an evening game in Newton, Kansas, against Bethel College, as Mike said, part of that series with KCAC. All right, Mike, we'll let you get back to work and look forward to hearing from Coach Harper. Thanks, man.
Okay, see you, bud.
Mike Will, voice of the Hastings College Broncos, joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. It's just climbing in that dirt. Hastings had it off here a couple 3 years ago, and now they're trying to get back to that playoff team. Sounds like if their defense can shore up, and of course, Mike said they've got a little returning there in the quarterback, but he'll have to play better as the full-time starter now. And then you got about four teams there in the mix that'll probably be picked to finish anywhere from third to sixth. You got to win those games.
You know, Mike, when he does his games on the radio, and you a lot of times I'll come in and it might be in the middle of the second quarter, so I have no idea who's ahead or who's behind. And by his voice, I can hardly tell. And then all of a sudden, he'll fire it up, and they're down 38-7, and go, boy, or something, you know, like that. But he talked about the defense, and he's exactly right. He didn't You know, sometimes you sugarcoat things. He said, we have to get better on that side of the ball. And it wasn't the offense. It wasn't like the offense was turning the ball over and creating problems for their defense. Their defense just couldn't stop people, and they'd get nice leads. And it was one and two play long drives, if you watch some of the highlights, yeah.
We're going to talk with Robin Washington about the Huskers, a lot of football, a little bit about the men's basketball team heading over to Spain, and we'll give you the results from the women's trip over to Australia. They played again this morning. It's all part of the Doug and Daddy Show here on ESPN Radio.
Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center, getting you back in the game of life. With two locations in Kearney, the Ortho Clinic at the Kearney Clinic and the Rehab Clinic at the ENT Building. Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center, excellence in rehabilitation. A very proud supporter of the area athletes in and out of the game. Locations serving Kearney, Lexington, Minden, Ravenna, and Wood River. Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center.
Take the route of summer savings at Garrett Tires and Treads. The Fusion Touring Tire provides a quiet ride, combining value and comfort, as low as $44.95 for the 185/60R14 size. Firestone Precision Touring Tires provide great traction and high mileage and are $100 off a set of four. Drive into Garrett Tires and Treads now and save. Hurry, offer ends August 31st. Find out more savings at Garrett-Tire.com.
Garrett Guarantee. Garrett Tires and Treads.
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney.
One play can change momentum in a game.
Field goal attempt for the corner with 1.6 seconds to play. Now he launches up a shot at the buzzer.
And one deductible is a game changer when it comes to your insurance.
He hits it! A three-point field goal with the state championship.
That's why you should see Rich Peters and Matt Myers, your Farm Bureau agents. They can bundle your car and home together into a single policy. So, if life sends a blitz in the form of a storm or fire...
Touchdown! Kidding me.
You'll pay just one deductible for everything that's covered. Talk to Farm Bureau agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers today and see how simple it can be. Farm Bureau Property and Casualty Insurance Company, Western Agricultural Insurance Company, securities and services offered through FBL Marketing Services, LLC. Affiliates, Farm Bureau Financial Services.
For today, a slight chance of showers and thunderstorms. Otherwise, it'll be partly sunny with a high near 85. Tonight, we'll continue with a slight chance of storms early, then clear, low near 64. Friday, sunny, high near 89. Currently, it's 68.
Doug and Daddy Show, ESPN Radio, getting ready for... Hopefully, for some folks, I know there's going to be a pretty big field to play some good golf at one of the area's nicest golf courses. The Holdridge Country Club is hosting the 88th annual Southwest Open this Saturday and Sunday. Your entry fee will even get you a free practice round on Friday. $95 will get you your range balls to warm up. Free practice round Friday, golf Saturday and Sunday. The unbelievable dinner on Saturday night, Calcutta, and a whole lot more. You can find out all about it online, holdridgecc.com, or if you're going, man, I got to get in, I forgot, oh, it opened up this weekend, now I'm going to be free, let's play some golf at the 88th Annual Southwest Open. Call the Holdridge Country Club, 308-995-5744, 995-5744. Robin Washit joins us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Doug Duda, Jim Langan, talk a little Husker football, little hoops as fall camp opens today. Fan day was yesterday. There was a pre-fan day press conference where a few of the players spoke, like Jack Gangwish and the guys that didn't go to Chicago. Robin, was it a zoo yesterday? Good morning.
Oh, yeah, good morning to you guys. Yeah, it wasn't so bad. You know, it was only about, 10 players or so, and they all kind of circled their way up to the podium and did side interviews. And, it was really... a lot of the stuff that I'm sure many fans would want to hear, you know, about the main theme that I took away with is kind of what was being talked about in the spring and how it was just a completely different feel from, you know, where things were at this time a year ago with the new coaching staff and the new ideas, philosophies they're bringing in everywhere from strength and conditioning programs over the summer to, you know, the playbook philosophies and coaching styles. So the newness theme definitely continued and is kind of going full force on into fall camp.
Let's talk about a couple of the guys that were part of the press conference yesterday. Alex Lewis comes in from Colorado. Bo Pelini and his staff did what they could to help him help himself. And he was not exactly stellar for the Big Red on the field last year. He was pretty opinionated, I guess, yesterday. Can you tell us a little bit about what you're expecting or what Husker fans should be expecting from Alex?
Yeah, you know, despite, you know, some of his struggles, the fact remains that he's still, you know, the full-time starter at left tackle and really the only defined starter on the offensive line going into fall camp right now. There's every other spot is still kind of up for competition outside of, you know, Lewis there on the left side. So, you know, I think that he realizes, you know, the issues that he had, you know, for one with penalties and, you know, just with his overall footwork and things like that, that he struggled with. And, you know, I think, you know, he made some bold statements just about his predictions for the season. You know, he said when asked what his goal for the season was, that it was to get diamonds on my fingers. You know, I came to Nebraska to win and win big. So he's certainly not lacking on confidence. But one of the things that I really took away from this interview was, you know, the kind of, I don't want to say jab he took at the previous staff, but, you know, kind of made a pretty notable comparison just between the relationships the offensive line has with current position coach Mike Cavanaugh and the previous coaches with Barney Cotton and John Garrison. You know, he didn't knock Cotton and Garrison's coaching ability, but just I think from a relationship standpoint, you know, the other day Cavanaugh had the entire offensive line over to his house for a barbecue. You can imagine how much money that costs to feed that group. So that was certainly a commitment, and more than just having a gathering. So, but he said that little things like that, the unit just never did before under the previous coaching staff. You know, I think there was kind of a little bit of confusion as to kind of who was the figurehead of that room between Barney Cotton, who was position coach, was bumped to be a co-offensive line coach, then moved to, you know, offensive line tight end coach, and then John Garrison, who was the new guy coming in. So I think there was, you know, really some unsettled feelings there in that room. And now when you have a guy like Mike Cavanaugh, who's just about as great of a personality as you're going to find, I think that he's really taken control of that room and started to really develop a bond there, which for the offensive line is about as important as you're going to find on the entire roster.
Robin Walsh at Husker Online joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. So many ways to go there. And let's face it, Cotton for a long time was the butt of a lot of jokes and criticism with Husker fan and maybe even some media folks behind the scenes. There's no doubt about it. What I want to ask you, if you have any knowledge of a few of the local kids here from our area. We know all about Jack Gangwish and what he's doing. The Riker Fife story has been up here the last couple of years, and he was there, obviously, yesterday. And then Zach Stirrup, we talk offensive line. Is there any mention of him and if he's going to be ready to go today?
Yeah, actually, one of the, you know, I think best news that came out of that press conference was from Alex Lewis when, you know, he was asked about some of the other guys in the line. He said both Zach Stirrup and Ryan Reeves at center were both 100% ready to go going into fall camp, which is absolutely huge because both, you know, Zach sat out all spring practice and, you know, missed the last couple games last year with lingering injuries. And then, you know, Ryan Reeves, of course, has, you know, battled injuries throughout his career and had missed the spring game because of some flare-ups midway through. And, you know, both of those guys are potential starters on that offensive line. So for them to be healthy is pretty big for this group. You know, I think Zach Stirrup is going to battle with Givens Price for that starting right tackle spot. Right now, I would say he's probably the front runner to win that job if he can stay healthy. So, you know, we're all going to keep our fingers crossed and hope that he can, you know, continue to stay off the injury list and, you know, be able to put together a full season. And at center, Ryan Reeves, I think, is clearly the number one guy there in front of, you know, Paul Thurston. You know, and he brings a size and just a frame that Nebraska hasn't had at center in a long time. I mean, you know, going back, you know, to, you know, the early, you know, early 2000s, you know, because Nebraska has had, you know, some undersized centers over the past few years. So I think it's going to be absolutely huge for him to stay healthy because, you know, again, that you're talking about your clear number one guy at center, but you can't, you know, put him in ink on the depth chart right now just because, you know, he has yet to make it through a full season healthy. So, you know, I think that, like I said, some of the most encouraging news is that both those guys at this point in time are going to be 100% healthy going into camp.
Yeah, question about the offensive line against us. We're talking about that area. The depth of the offensive line, will it be better this year? Because what I've gathered, this is my own opinion, is we have a lot of average offensive linemen. We don't have, like, the All-American guys that they're talking about going, hey, this guy's a preseason first-pick All-American. So all of a sudden now, the other team goes, oh, they're going to run right over here, so they're going to load up. And it makes everybody else a little bit better when you have that All-American. If we got enough depth, when you look at this, is there going to be enough depth to go through this thing when we have 10 play drives and they stall out and all of a sudden we got to go back on the field and try to get another one?
Yeah, you know, there's clearly not that star power, like you mentioned. Again, outside of Alex Lewis, really, there's no, you know, guaranteed starters, you know, at this point on day one of fall camp. So, you know, there's certainly a lot of more competition that needs to play out. But the good news is, I think from just a talent and potential standpoint, the depth is certainly there and probably as good as it's been in a while, especially when you look at some of the young guys they have coming up the ranks, particularly those redshirt freshmen that they brought in a year ago, and, you know, Gerald Foster and, Nick Gates and Tanner Farmer. You know, I think those three guys are going to be potential studs on the offensive line. And, you know, you have some veteran guys like Stirrup, you know, Michael Lewis, like Chongo Condolo that, you know, I think are going to be, you know, kind of fixtures on that offensive line. I think, you know, Dylan Nutter is probably going to end up winning one of those guard spots. And, of course, if Ryan Reeves can stay healthy, he's your guy at center. But behind them, you know, I mentioned those redshirt freshmen, but, you know, Alex Lewis raved about David Neville. And I think from a potential standpoint, when you got a guy at 6'9", 310 pounds, he's got an opportunity to be a real, dominating presence there on outside at left tackle. And, you know, of course, Givens Price, you know, he's a guy that is still trying to find his groove, but he's one of those guys that can play any position on the offensive line. He's worked both tackles, he's worked at guard, he's even taken some time at center, too. So, I mean, they have so many different pieces that, you know, could potentially come into play. But I think what's interesting is, you know, they have so many pieces, but they're trying to narrow down their rotation. I think what they want to do by the time, you know, September 5th rolls around, is find their five guys and stick with those five guys and rotate as necessary, whereas before it was almost like the staff was going out of their way to rotate some guys. You know, there's one mistake, then they pull a guy from the lineup, and you wouldn't see him for another game and a half. So I think that there's going to be a change in just the mentality of how they sub up front on the offensive line, which as soon as they do find that you know, core group of five or six guys, those are going to be the group that you see more often than not. And but again, the good news is that the competition is only going to make each one of these guys better. And with as much young talent as they have coming up, that could produce some pretty good players.
Robin Washut of Husker Online with us here for a little while longer on the Doug and Daddy Show, talking Huskers who opened fall camp today. And Coach Riley mentioned that when we chatted with him last week, 8, 9, 10 guys that he's comfortable with probably playing on that line. He mentioned quite a few times about having more depth than he was used to having at Oregon State the last few years, which also leads to another question that was kind of not directly asked at media days, but there was starting the rumblings of this through the Nebraska media, is that Coach Riley, now I don't want to compare him to Bill Callahan, who locked 50 guys in a different room so that he could work with a number, but Robin, what's the rumblings about maybe not having as many players on the team for Coach Riley and his staff, and maybe, I don't know, 20, 30 guys, maybe being closer to 105, 110 instead of 130, 140.
Yeah, you know, I'm not quite sure what their plan is going forward with that, but you're right. I remember in spring that was a comment, you know, Mike Riley made that, you know, he never had numbers like that in spring ball, which was a big part in why they broke the practices up into basically two different teams with a red team and a white team. But at the same time, I think that wasn't necessarily a bad thing for Mike Riley. I think that gave the coaching staff a pretty great opportunity to get guys reps that necessarily wouldn't get the types of reps that they got in spring. So that I think that is actually more of a valuable asset for the coaching staff, and it was an inconvenience. So I'm not necessarily sure that they're viewing these numbers as a total bad thing. You know, I think one thing that you'll start to see maybe is some of these former walk-ons that were put on scholarship. I think after this season, they might reevaluate some of these guys. You know, I think Riker Fife was kind of the guy that brought that up when Mike Riley was asked about it at media day. So that's one thing that I could see, that there might be some shakeups as far as guys that are on scholarship that were not necessarily recruited as scholarship guys out of high school. So that's probably the one thing that I could maybe foresee likely happening down the road after this season. But I don't really think that the roster size is being viewed by the staff as a negative. I think that you have numbers. That's a luxury, especially with the way football is. You need as many bodies as you can to run an effective practice.
Are you a question I have for you about Coach Riley? It seems to me that maybe his biggest strength is some of the assistant coaches that he brought in and the relationship they're having with the players, because everybody seems to think they're getting more instruction. Your thoughts?
Yeah, and I think that goes back to the opportunities that they had with those two different, the red and white team in spring ball. I mean, as opposed to guys just kind of standing around watching the first and second team guys get all the reps, you have an entire different squad on the other practice field, getting direct hands-on instruction, and getting most importantly of all, getting reps on film. So that even if Mike Riley and the Danny Langsdorf, Mark Banker aren't able to see these guys in person, when they go back and watch film, hey, every single one of these guys has reps, on tape that the coaching staff is going to look at, and it's basically entirely in the players' hands to go out there and make the most of it. I mean, if they go out there and make plays and get noticed and flash on film, that's going to translate into more playing time. And so I think the players, that's probably what got them as excited as anything this spring, is for the first time in a long time, it wasn't just, your top group getting all the reps, getting all the coaching. Everybody, from top to bottom is having an opportunity. And really, as a player, that's all you can ask for.
Well, the Huskers' first practice is tonight, game one against BYU, September 5th. So we've still got a month to dissect a variety of things, including the defense, including Jack Anguish and the guys talking about the difference in the playbook and the difference of what they're going to be running. Say it's different, will it be good? That's what we'll be seeing and talking about over the next month. A couple of questions on basketball here before we let you go, Robin. The women are over in Australia. They got beat today by 6. They may have only suited up 7 or 8 players, so they're having fun, but they're losing basketball games with 1 to go. The men, are they in the same boat, that they might not have a lot of guys play when they go to Spain? Tim Miles is always upbeat, but what's this 10-day trip that starts next weekend have in store for them?
Yeah, as of right now, everybody on the active roster is set to go over to Spain for that 4-game-ish tour they have over there. The question is if 2 guys are going to be able to play very much, and those 2 guys are Ed Morrow and Bakari Evelyn, 2 of the freshmen coming in. Now, both of them underwent surgery in the offseason, and coincidentally both had bone spur issues in their ankles, so had to go ahead and remove some cartilage or whatever out of their ankles, and they're both supposedly on the mend. They've been doing some real light work and practice. They're going to travel to Spain. The question is just how much they're going to be able to give. I think Miles said that if nothing else, they're going to at least get some work, whether that be in a game. I'm not sure. It might just be in the 10 allotted practices that they're going to have. But, I don't think either of those are very serious, as far as, the season comes up. But the only other question mark was Jack McVay, the kid from Australia, freshman. He's been taking summer courses online, and assuming that, he doesn't have any wild grade changes between now and graduation, then he's good to go to get the required 6 credit hours he needed to join the team on the trip. So he's going to be there. Thing with him though is that all summer he's been playing in international tournaments with the Australian 19 and under team, so I don't know if they're necessarily going to throw him right back into the mix. He's kind of you don't want to burn him out even before your first practice, so he might play a little bit, but I think more it's just kind of getting these guys used to each other. And that's probably the most beneficial thing about this trip, is not only the 10 additional practices that you otherwise wouldn't have, but the opportunity for the bonding. I mean, this is a completely a roster that's been completely wiped clean. You know, I mean, outside of, you know, Siobhan Shields and Benny Parker and Ty Webster, you know, there really aren't any guys on this team that played any more than 10 minutes a game last year. And so you're infusing so many new talents and personalities that having an opportunity to get these guys together and, you know, fly across the Atlantic Ocean together, stay in hotels together, you know, play against other competition together is going to be invaluable. And so this, just from a growing perspective, this is going to be a pretty special opportunity for this team, and probably couldn't have come at a much better time.
Today's question, to let Robin wash it out of here, the higher total will be Nebraska football victories, Nebraska men's basketball non-conference victories.
That's a good question. I'm gonna be safe, and I'm gonna say Nebraska non-conference victories, just because there's still some questions about how these tournaments that they're playing, like the Barclays event out in New York. They start off, the only guaranteed games they have are against some pretty light competition. So it really depends on how those tournaments shake out. If they end up going on to play the Tennessees and Georgetowns, then maybe my decision is going to sway. But I think as the way it's set up right now, assuming, you know, this team can get it in gear by the time the season rolls around, I think they should be pretty good. You know, they have some tough challenges, but they also have some winnable, extremely winnable games. So I'm going to go basketball non-conference victory.
All right, buddy. We'll see how it pans out. We'll let you get back to work. Enjoy the night practices.
Yeah, it should make for some great deadline writing.
Robin Walsh at Husker Online. Thanks for the time, man.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
We will have a whole lot more on the Huskers, obviously daily, as we get ready for the beginning of the season. Again, you hear a lot of the same things when there's a coaching change. Things are going to be different, Jimmy. But again, will that be a good different or a not good different? The players will say the right things for the most part, and they'll embrace, and there's going to be some things that they like better from the previous staff, but they're not going to talk about the things that they don't like.
Yeah, you're probably right, Doug. I mean, the only thing I saw that might be a little difference, and I don't know what he's going to do at Nebraska, but I saw what he did at Oregon State, is when things went bad and they played Oregon and maybe they're down 35-3 at halftime, he was not going wild on the sideline and screaming at people. And, you know, Bo was known for that. I mean, if things got bad on the defensive side, I mean, but that was his competitive. That was his nature. That's what he would have done if he was captain of the team, if he was the defensive back, mm-hmm. and guys are making mistakes. So, you know, that's something that kind of happened. The thing that's going to interest me is the assistant coaches. Bo kind of had a little hold on some of those assistant coaches. I mean, hey, you're going to take this switch. We're going to do it this way right now. And, hey, that guy's out and put somebody else in. And I don't know if that's going to happen. I don't know if Mike Riley's personality is going to be like that. I think he's going to let the offensive line coach. He said, hold it. I said that we were going to switch after the second series, and we're going to make this offensive change because we're going to keep people fresh, because we're going to try to get some things done here in the third and fourth quarter. And so we might have to pay a little bit here in the second quarter by substituting in, keeping guys fresh. But sometimes those guys come in and they're fresh and they get something done. You know, and so I think that's what I think Mike Riley's going to. That's going to be something you're going to see a little bit different. Is going to be the substitution and some of the decisions to do. What I'm going to be really intrigued about, though, is whether we line up and we try to run over people, or if we're going to be the type of team that does jet sweep action. You know, and kind of try to fake misdirection and get the defense to do things, you know, and get them out of the box. They're stretching the defense a little bit more. That'll be interesting to see what he does when he's at the University of Nebraska, because at Oregon State, he stretched.
I think we'll see that for a couple of reasons. You've got DeMornay Pearson L. We still have the questions at running back, and if they do platoon them, you'll have guys that can do different things. And let's face it, defenses are still going to stack the box, Jimmy, to make Tommy Armstrong throw the football.
Good point.
So you won't, I mean, you will run up the middle a little bit. Will there be fullback, H-back, tight end type of situations where you power, not necessarily I anymore, but where you run power up the middle? Yes, everybody's going to do that to keep them honest, but I would tend to say that you're going to see kind of the same offense, except the formations will probably be different. As far as the spread from the shotgun and the clapping and all that, you're going to miss the clapping.
I don't know.
The quarterback.
I'm going to say I'm not going to miss that. But I don't like turnovers. You know, I mean, that's the one thing I'm really concerned about is I do not like to turn the ball over. I do love ball security. That is something I'm really weak on. Because other people would like to take risk and chances. I do not like to take risk and chances. When we're playing BYU, I want to make sure they beat us. I do not want to go in there and do some things that we're trying to get the offense going. Hey, we got to get the offense going. We got to get the – no, we do not have to get the offense going if we're winning 14-0. This is good enough. Let's just make them beat us. Let's just don't turn the ball over. Do things right. Fourth down and three, let's punt the ball. You know, let's make some field goals. Let's do some things. Get those small things done. Yeah.
Our Midtown Mart cooler question. Midtown Mart of Hastings, home of the coldest beer and coolest topics. We talked a little fantasy football yesterday with the injury to Arian Foster. Would you take him in the first 10 rounds of your draft? For many people, that would be in the middle area. I see most drafts are about 16, 17 rounds. Some are longer. Some are shorter if you don't have as many teams. 89% said nope. Ain't doing it. Not taking Arian Foster. 11% said they wouldn't draft him at all, even if he was still there in the 15th. And no votes for, yep, I'm going to take him. So, again, we got to wait to see how long he's going to be out. Our Midtown Mark Cooler question today, will Ray Rice be on an NFL roster before week one? So will he be on an NFL roster opening day? Vote at ESPNSuperstation.com. Not do you want him to be or do you think he should be. Will he be on an NFL roster before week one? Jim, I'm going to say yes.
I'm going to say no. And I had a question for you real quick, and then we can go to advertisement. Will Tim Tebow be an Eagle? Will he be a Philadelphia Eagle the first on September 5th? I'll just throw that out. September 5th, will he be an Eagle? That's a week before. I'm giving you a week. I'm giving you 1 week before, kind of when they got to get down to that decision. But, they got one more preseason game. Will he finish the whole preseason out, Tim Tebow, or will he not?
He will make the next-to-last cut is what you're asking me.
That's
before
right.
The 50, yes, he'll make it.
He'll make that cut for sure.
He'll hang that long.
Okay.
Because depth for them right now for the Eagles, I mean, look at what they have. They don't have any all-pros on the team right now. So I'll say, yes, he is. Vote on our Midtown Mark Cooler question at ESPNSuperstation.com. More from the Big Ten. Offensive lineman Keith Lumpkin of Rutgers. A little update on state baseball, Legion baseball, and more coming up after this.
I worked in pro baseball for a long time, and we play on Sundays. And it was an easy excuse. I took the easy out and just didn't go to Mass. Got caught up in that whole selfishness, that whole... I can do it all. The times when I was struggling were the times I needed God the most. And now that I've come back and accepted God, my world has completely changed.
If you've been away from the Catholic Church for any reason, visit CatholicsComeHome.org today.
Crazy Burn is the latest, hottest weight loss product exclusively being sold at the Hastings, Kearney, and Grand Island GNCs. Are you looking to get fit and slim down for summer? Crazy Burn has ephedra effects resulting in more energy, appetite suppression, and amazing weight loss. Start working on that beach body today. Don't go mad hoping for something to work. Get crazy with Crazy Burn and start getting results today. Available exclusively at your Hastings GNC just north of Walmart, the Kearney GNC in the Hilltop Mall, and the Grand Island GNC in the Conestoga Mall.
Where you're a neighbor, not a number, we're Custom Pack.
This week at Custom Pack of Hastings, get USDA Choice Boneless New York Strip Steaks, only $7.98 a pound. Lean Boneless Butterfly Pork Chops, only $2.98 a pound. And individual 6-ounce chicken breast, only $1.69 each. It's all at Custom Pack of Hastings.
At Custom Pack, you're a neighbor, not a number.
Plan now to attend the 32nd Annual Platte Valley Antique and Collector Show. This show will be held at the Crystal Lake Recreation Area in Ayer, Nebraska on August 14th, 15th, and 16th. Enjoy fun kid games, parades, tractor games, concessions, tractor displays, live music, and more. Also, enjoy the beer garden and wine tasting on Saturday. Gates open at 7 a.m. each day. $5 admission, good for both days. Children under 10 are free. For more information, log on to pvama.org.
Great fielding and solid hitting start with the right stuff from TM Sporting Goods. Choose from brands like Louisville Slugger, Rip It, Mizuno, and Wilson. All the summer sports are made better with the right apparel and equipment from TM Sporting Goods.
Save!
Then roll in the expertise provided by Steve Varinall and Tino Martinez. TM Sporting Goods on the Bricks, downtown Kearney, a division of Protein Design. Every sport done right.
Whether it's a car accident, storm damage, or a fire, when the unthinkable happens, it doesn't matter if you saved money in 15 minutes. In this moment, it doesn't matter if your neighbor has the same insurance you do. In this moment, what matters is that your independent insurance agent and the company that stands behind them have you covered. Auto Owners Insurance, the no problem people. Visit the Kroll Agency in Kennesaw, Hastings, Minden, and Roseland today.
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Doug Duda, Jim Langan with you on this Thursday. Tomorrow, former Husker Bonnie Kratzenstein is going to slide in. We've got Dan Vitale, no relation to Dick. He is a super back. That's his position for Northwestern. Super back. SB, no, not slot back. Super back.
That's a good name. I like that name.
He plays a ton of positions. You ever have a super back?
You had a couple of them, but we put them at tailback. But they made us. They had some nice runs over their years.
Hey, Natalie Romeo scored 32 points, but the Nebraska women, as we said, they've only got about seven or eight healthy bodies over there in Australia. Played close, 79-73, but lost to Cairns basketball today. Now they'll have a lot of time off. They'll play their final game Monday. This is where they get to have some fun, sightsee, and all of that. So that's where the Nebraska women are. And at the state baseball tournament, Class B will wrap up tonight in Cozad. Hopefully the rain stays away for those guys. I mean, it's a long week. So Omaha Roncalli will play Hickman. Hickman beat them in the winner's bracket final a couple of days ago, 10-0. Last night, Hickman eliminated Blair 12-8, and Roncalli got by Ogallala 3-1. And Louisville, they did it. They won twice last night, beat their rival Elmwood Murdoch 2-1, and then 8-1 to win the Class C state championship. And the Class A teams, you got to see Creighton Prep. Jimmy, they won the Omaha side, and Millard South won the Hastings side. They both won yesterday at the Central Plains Regional Tournament in Bismarck, North Dakota. Of course, the winner of the regional goes on to the American Legion World Series in Shelby, North Carolina. Creighton Prep was up 4-0, got tied, then hit a solo home run at the top of the ninth to win it 6-5. And Millard South, playing the host, won 10-0 against Bismarck. They'll both play this evening up there in Bismarck.
Yeah, you know, Creighton Prep was ahead of run. And the other team had runners at first and third with two outs in the eighth. And their shortstop dropped a pop-up right by the pitcher. Mm-hmm. Popped up, and everybody, I got it. And he just dropped it. And that's how the game got tied, and luckily they got out of the inning. But they also won in the bottom of the ninth the state championship when Creighton mm-hmm. Prep on a walk-off home run. So I think the same kid hit it.
Well, and I think yesterday the first three runs for the Minnesota team were on bases-loaded walks.
Ooh.
Yeah.
You know, there's two umpires from Omaha up there. I won't give you their names, but there's two umpires from Omaha. And a kid from Omaha doubled, from Omaha Creighton Prep doubled, and they appealed he missed first base, and they called him out for missing first base. And the guy was from Omaha that made the call that he was out. Ooh.
Well, he had
in North,
to be
that's
sure.
a long way to drive had to make that call.
Had to be pretty sure, right?
Yeah.
Also, we talked about the basketball teams being overseas. There's a couple of UNK players that are down in Brazil this week. In Connor Baronic and Ethan Brozik, seniors-to-be, are part of a Division II All-Star team for 9 days that are down there in Brazil. They're playing four games. While they are there, Tri-City Storm. We have a new voice of the Storm, as we mentioned, Jared Shaffrin taking the job at Ferris State. We talked about that a week ago. I think we announced it even when we were in Chicago. They've got a youngster coming in out of Syracuse, one of the finest communications and broadcast to schools in the country. 22-year-old David Fine will be the new voice of the Storm, but he's had some work in college. He's been with the Syracuse Crunch, part of the American Hockey League there for four seasons. Also, the Lansing Lugnuts, single A baseball affiliate of the Toronto Blue Jays. I could have saved that for trivia, but that would have been a lot of guesswork.
Those are good nicknames, aren't there, in those double A and single A baseball. They didn't have to get it approved by a school.
I think
you know, the school board didn't have to prove those. They just, this is our nickname.
I think if I had a double A team, I'd call them the Batteries.
That's a good. I love that, the double A Batteries. That's a good. I'm really proud of you. I'm glad you said it on the air instead of at an establishment we frequent. But I'd laugh there too.
Hey, our Big Ten football talk is brought to you in part by the Kearney Chicken Coop, home of hot wings and cold beer. A lot of places say they are a sports bar and grill, but no one combines the best of both places like the Kearney Chicken Coop and the Catholic Diocese of Grand Island, serving the Catholic families of Central and Western Nebraska. Let's talk a little Rutgers football here on the Doug and Daddy Show as we continue getting closer to the start of football season. And Keith Lumpkin from Rutgers is going to join us here. A 6'8", 310-pound offensive lineman. That's what you're supposed to be, right, Keith? Good morning. How are you?
How you doing?
Let's talk a little bit about Rutgers coming in to the Big Ten Conference. Biggest adjustment. I mean, Nebraska 5 years ago comes into the Big Ten Conference, so we know all about some of the adjustments, what the players told us. Was there a significant difference, just the style of football, or what stood out to you?
You know, coming from the AAC, you know, you're not going against that many big guys up front. You know, teams are bigger, linebackers are bigger, everybody's bigger. So, you know, the adjustment to the Big Ten was just playing against bigger people, bigger, stronger, and faster. So that transition at first, you know, some people was, you know, it's kind of scary to some people, but, you know, the guys who play and go through it, you know, you just got to play out there, so you can't let the adjustment be the big factor for you.
Is that just a mental adjustment, knowing that, I'm not saying that you were taking plays off before, but you really got to bring it every play. Is it more mental or is it more physical?
It's more mental, you know. The physical part take care of itself. You know, if you're going hard, no matter what, you'll go hard against whoever it is. So it's just a mental thing. You know, you have to mentally prepare yourself for something like that. You know, because you're going against like teams like Ohio State and Michigan State and Nebraska. You know, those guys have, you know, proved themselves in the Big Ten. So they know what it takes to, you know, to win. So a new team coming in, you have to, you know, mentally prepare yourself for a team like that.
Talking with Keith Lumpkin of Rutgers here on the Doug and Daddy Show. You're a big fella. Did you have a growth spurt, or have you always been were you running around at 5, 6, 7 years old? You're a big guy.
5, 6, 7 years old, I was just always the biggest kid in the class. My sixth grade year, I was 6'2". After leaving middle school, I was 6'6". So I was always.
So was football your first love? Because I noticed you were decent in basketball as well, which sometimes for a big man is not always easy. Football your first love, or did you look elsewhere and just kind of grew into a football role?
I was 50-50. When it was basketball season, I loved basketball. When it was football season, I loved football. You know, it really came my junior year of high school. You know, I decided that I was going to go with the football route. I didn't think that I could take it as far as I could for football. So I stuck with football instead of basketball.
If you're going to be good in football, you can't be a lumbering oaf. You have to have those other skills.
Yes.
Did basketball and the other sports you play, do you think that helped you be a better football player?
I believe it did. You know, on the offensive line, you have to have good feet, good hands, good coordination. So that carried over from basketball. You know, basketball, you have to have great feet to keep moving. It's a constant moving game. You have to have good coordination to be a good player. You have to have good coordination in basketball. So, you know, me playing football and playing on the offensive line, you need quick feet. So that helped me, you know, with transitioning and moving my feet to block guys and going to the second level, running, get linebackers. So, honestly, basketball, you know, they go hand in hand with football. So that's something that helped me carry over.
You still get to play a little ball in college, or they tell you to stay off the court so you don't get hurt?
They'll never restrict us, but, you know, they'll tell us, like, okay, if you're going to play, you know, at least have the safety equipment on the ankle braces, the wrist strap, if you need the wrist straps, you know, the knee, little knee pads or something, you know, just so just be safe out there.
You haven't made the whole tour through the Big Ten just yet, but so far, the places you've been, what is the Big Ten venue that you were most excited to play in or that you appreciate the most?
Honestly, you know, I appreciate the Nebraska, you know, venue the most. We went up there, you know, people greeted us with gratitude, you know. That's something that kind of shocked us, you know, going from different places. You expect, you know, fans to be all rowdy and, you know, booing you. But when we get to Nebraska, you know, it was a nice, hospitality there. And it was shocking, to be honest.
Offensive lineman Keith Lumpkin joins us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. A lot of people thought that Rutgers and Maryland, the two new teams that came in, maybe overachieved last year. How did you feel about your season last year? You've got a lot of holes to replace, especially on the offensive side of the football this year, so you had an experienced team coming in. I don't want to say overachieve from your standpoint, but were you satisfied with your season in that first year in the conference?
You know, with our first year, you know, a lot of the polls had us at the bottom, you know, didn't have us winning that many games. And we, as a team, we know we got it. We know what we have to do. You know, we have to go out there and play every down. And that's what we did last year. We gave it our all, gave it 100%. And we let our, you know, as the old saying, you let your past do the talking. So, and that's what we felt we did, you know. We know we got to improve. You know, we have a lot of guys that left that played key positions. So now we have a lot of young guys that have to come in and step up and fill those roles.
Well, obviously the folks back in Nebraska know all of Nebraska's traditions. I don't think a lot of people realize that Rutgers is one of the very first college football programs. So obviously a lot of tradition at Rutgers. Tell me some of those traditions that probably the folks back home don't know.
You know, the biggest tradition that we have is the Scarlet Walk. And, you leave the hotel before the game. You come to the front of the stadium, and you see the statue of the first college football player, you know, obviously went to Rutgers. So, you know, he's in his little pose, you know. It's a nice setup. You know, your family's there, your friends, everybody, you know, that's important to your life will come there and watch you get off the bus. They'll greet you. You know, you walk into the stadium with, your emotions high, your pride high, because you've just seen somebody you care about so much, you know, there to greet you before the game. And, that's probably the most biggest, like, the biggest experience that you feel as a player at Rutgers.
And last minute here with Keith Lumpkin of Rutgers. So taking that a step farther, you talked about coming out to Lincoln and playing at Nebraska. This will be Nebraska's first trip out to Rutgers. I know there's a lot of fans that think this is a little bit of an easier trip. It's a long trip. But what do we need to know when we head out there to Rutgers, say on a Thursday? What do we want to do on Friday and Saturday before the ball game?
If you're coming out there ahead of time, you know, there's a lot of good eatery that you can go to when you're on campus, you know. It's a street called Easton Avenue, and it has a lot of famous, like, the instant stuff your face. You know, the guy with the strombolis, you know, they're very good. There's a lot of different types of foods that you can go and, you know, taste, whatever your preference is. You know, you have Brother Jimmy's, the barbecue. So there's a lot of different styles of food that if you want to eat, that you can go there and enjoy.
I want to eat too.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of eating. Yeah, Nebraska's on one end of the conference, Rutgers is on the other end of the conference, and with the new conference alignment for you guys, you've kind of lost a little bit of that regional geographic kind of element. Do you miss that? Do you kind of maybe wish long for the old days when you played a little bit more geographically centered opponents?
Honestly, you know, it really, that shouldn't be a big factor in, you know, games and everything, but it doesn't bother me where we go. You know, I like traveling. I always like traveling. So, like, geographically, it's just, you know, it's good that you go get to experience something new. So, you know, that shouldn't really be, you know, a factor other than playing and anything.
Well, we're looking forward to Nebraska at Rutgers. Again, welcome you to the conference, and it was a pleasure getting to know you, Keith. Best of luck this year. Thanks for the time on the Doug and Daddy Show.
Thank you. I appreciate you having me.
Keith Lumpkin, good guy, and Rutgers, some folks think, will be even a little bit better. The schedule, can it get them an 8-5 type of season? You never know. You've got, when you look at Penn State going 2-6 in the conference last year, they helped a couple of the new teams and some of those that are usually towards the bottom of the East to pick up wins, but I think that'll change a little bit. They'll have to win some games they're not supposed to win, but Maryland and Rutgers both did that last year, Jimmy.
Yeah, you know, Rutgers is one of those teams, again, we were talking about who's going to get third right now in that. And, hey, you get third in that and you win 9 games, you get to go to a great bowl game. You know, I mean, a fantastic bowl game. Maybe something even where it's warm. And you've been in Rutgers, in New Jersey. It gets a little cold there.
You don't have to go to the Pinstripe Bowl at Yankee Stadium.
That's right.
Our Big Ten Talk brought to you by Garrett Tires and Treads, celebrating 50 years of service with the Garrett Guarantee. Tomorrow we'll talk with the Superback out of Northwestern, Dan Vitale, trying to bounce back from a pair of 5-7 seasons. And we'll wrap up the Doug and Daddy Show right after this.
I'm a business owner, and we called Kearney Crete & Block when we needed a new and inviting-looking driveway.
We called Kearney Crete & Block when we decided to do a fire pit and patio. You should be calling Kearney Crete & Block and Christensen Concrete for all your concrete and masonry supplies. Let the professionals help you enhance the beauty and value of your home and business. Kearney Crete & Block and Christensen Concrete Products, building generations one block at a time.
Every baseball fan has respect for Major League Baseball's past, present, and future. And it comes alive at the Museum of Nebraska Major League Baseball in downtown St. Paul. Dedicated to illustrating the careers of over 150 men with Nebraska ties who have made it to the majors. Enjoy Hall of Fame exhibits featuring Alexander, Gibson, Boggs, Vance, Ashburn, Crawford, and Southworth. The Museum of Nebraska Major League Baseball, a place you've got to see in downtown St. Paul. Open daily 9:30 to 4:30 and Saturday 10 to 2.
If you got it, show it.
Get ready.
That's right, baby. TDLC Cruise Night 2015 is Friday, August 14th in Hampton. We challenge you Tri-City Street Rods, Living Legends, and Central Nebraska Auto Club to put your hot rod where your mouth is. On Main Street in Hampton, August 14th at 6 p.m. Sandwiches and drinks are provided. Family fun for everyone. Friday, August 14th at 6 p.m. on Main Street in Hampton. TDLC Cruise Night invites you out to show your shine. Cruise on into Hampton, August 14th.
The reality of today's real estate market is that there are more buyers than listings. Preparation plus the resources afforded by OneRocky.com can put you in the home you want, while delaying could cost you both dollars and the home you wanted. OneRocky.com, the right website. OneRocky.com, the right smartphone app. Rocky Geyser, the right real estate agent.
This is Rocky Geyser. If you're not on OneRocky.com, you're not on the right website.
If you care, call Rocky Geyser, because he does. OneRocky.com.
Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation, KXPN Kearney, KICS Hastings.
Doug and Daddy Show here at the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Great movie.
Oh, it was one of my all-time faves.
Great, great
movie. I'm sitting with people that didn't quite understand what was going on, but for some reason I did.
Oh, there you go. Entertainer Doug and Daddy Show, Doug Duda, Jim Langan of the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Your Midway Auto Dealers are Midway Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Midway Chevrolet Buick GMC Cadillac, and right now at the Midway Auto Outlet, their newest location on South Central Avenue, ready to serve you for all your pre-owned car needs. See Midway's full selection on their lot or the 250-plus used vehicles you can see online at thinkmidway.com. With over 25 makes available, Midway Auto Outlet is sure to have the used car you're looking for. Ford, Honda, Toyota, Hyundai, and more. Choose from over 250 pre-owned vehicles in all price ranges. If you're looking for something maybe on the new, we can see a lot of Dodges around. Get a great deal during the summer clearance event. 1.9% for 60 months, plus $1,000 bonus cash on select 15 Darts that get up to 41 highway miles per gallon. If you haven't noticed, gas has went up. Stop into Midway Auto Dealers, South 2nd Avenue, or go to thinkmidway.com. Kansas City Royals about ready to play their 10th straight road game and then come home. Just a couple, 3 minutes till first pitch in Detroit, and you can hear the game on the breeze, 94.5, before they come home against the White Sox. So there you go.
Who's pitching today? Do you know?
I don't. That guy.
Okay.
I can check for you real quick, brother. Is that okay?
Yes, you can.
Coming down right here, BYU, where there might be some suspensions, you know, coming in. They have their running back, Jamal Williams, withdrawn from school. Top running back?
I have no idea.
Caleb.
I just got you the info right away.
Yeah, you did what you could good.
But man.
You did what you could do, but about 5 minutes from now, we want more information here, right?
Today's Ventura.
Ventura.
Yordano Ventura going today against Sanchez from Detroit, so it's basically a pick 'em game, if you're wondering. Only if you're wondering, though. So, there you go. Big weekend plan?
Nope.
No?
I don't. Do you?
Yeah. Post-baseball for you, huh?
Yeah,
I've only got a couple weekends left, man. I'm going to get on the road.
Good deal. Where are you heading?
Do stupid things.
Do you know where you're going today?
Yeah, I'm going to be right here.
Oh, okay.
Oh, do I know today where I'm going this
weekend? Yeah.
I'm going to see a lot of the West.
Are you going golfing?
I will be on a golf course this weekend, not next week.
Okay, good. Well, yeah. Enjoy your time. Well earned. You've well earned vacation.
Yeah, I'm not very smart, Jimmy. That's all there is to it. I'm just not very smart.
What's that mean? Because you're going the wrong way? Because you're going west?
No, that's great. Love West. GPAC Media Days today. I want to thank Mike Will, voice of the Broncos, for joining us. Robin Walshett of Husker Online and Rutgers offensive lineman Keith Lumpkin. Monty Kratzenstein will be in studio tomorrow with me. We'll also catch up with Dan Vitale, Northwestern Superback, and get you ready for the weekend. Jimmy, have a great weekend. I'll see you Monday.
Take care.
See the rest of you tomorrow on the Doug and Daddy Show.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game over.